In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You can be seated. Just recently, Rachel and I found something at home. We were going through some things, and I used to keep a little book for both Noah and Kaya, where I would write down funny things that they said when they were young. And unfortunately, I kind of got out of the habit of that, but there's some real jewels in there. And when Kaya was about, I guess, two and a half, what I wrote down in there is they were playing on the playground, Kaya and Noah, and so Noah's a year and a half younger. So I guess she must have been about three, a year and a half. And there's some kind of altercation broke out. And Kaya says, "Noah, you're not obeying Jesus." And then she said, "Daddy, Noah is not obeying Jesus or Kaya." I don't remember what he was doing there. And you know what we see in the gospel reading that we have today is that actually we are called to obey Jesus. That he says to me, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Or as other translations will put it, "If you love me, you will obey what I've commanded." And throughout Scripture, of course, we see this theme over and over again, that we're called to a life of obedience. And I don't know how obedience strikes your ear, but I think oftentimes when we hear that word, obedience, that's not a positive word. It's not something we get excited about. Oh, yes, obedience. We don't live in a culture, to put it mildly, that celebrates submissive obedience to authority. I don't know how many cultures ever have, but certainly ours does not. And I think often that the reason for that is that we have a kind of picture in mind about what obedience is. And, you know, I was talking to the kids earlier, and it's sometimes I think we get that picture from when we were, I don't know, teenagers or children, and we think, yeah, obedience. That's when the parents tell me to do things that I don't want to do and that seem silly, and they get in the way of what I want to do otherwise. We don't like obedience because obeying someone means I'm submitting my will to the will of someone else. Or as we often hear, you know, you need to be true to yourself. And obedience means being true to someone else, really. And so we have this picture of obedience that's not particularly attractive. And oftentimes I think that spills over into and colors the way we think about God and God's call to us of obedience. Jesus tells us a story that helps us to see things maybe a little bit differently, because our normal picture of obedience is us constraint. It's negative. It gets in the way. And Jesus wants to help us to see it a little bit differently. And the story I'm thinking of is the prodigal son, which is a familiar story, but I'll just go back through quickly through the main points. You've got Jesus telling this story about a father who had two sons. And he says, you know, the younger son said to the father, "Dad, give me my inheritance, because basically I'm tired of hanging out with you and I'm ready to go out in the world and do my own thing. So give me what would normally come to me when you're dead. I want it now." And the father amazingly says, "Okay," and divides up his inheritance, gives it to the younger son, and the younger son goes. And as we read, the younger son goes into a far country and squanders all of his money, finds himself one day feeding pigs and starving. And feeding pigs for a Jew is not a good place to be. And he's longing, the story tells us, to eat even what the pigs are being fed, but no one is giving him anything. So he says, "I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father's house. And when I return, then at least I can say, 'Dad, make me like a slave in your house,' because at least they have something to eat." And the remarkable thing in the story is that when the young man is coming, the text tells us, from a long way off, his father saw him, and he ran to him and embraced him. And the son has this speech rehearsed, "Oh, father, please forgive me, I'm not worthy to be called your son," and the dad sort of cuts him off. And what does he do? Instead of saying, "Yeah, you can come back, but boy, it's going to be as a second-class citizen until you kind of earn and show that you're properly sorry," he doesn't do anything like that. He says, "Let's have a feast. So kill the fattened calf, put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger," which signifies sort of authority in the home, sonship, "put sandals on his feet, put him back to the full place that he was before." An amazing act of graciousness. The older brother in the story, who has remained at home this whole time, he's out in the field working, as the older brother is apparently wont to do. And he hears something going on, and he says to a servant, "Hey, servant, come here. What is that I hear back at the house? What's going on?" And the servant, excited, says, you won't believe it. Your brother's come back, and so we're having a big party. It's really good. Why don't you come?" And what is the attitude of the older brother? He's not excited. He said, what, that worthless, he says to his father, that son of yours, he won't even own him as his brother. He says, that worthless piece of garbage has come back after wasting all the money you gave him. You're going to give him a party? And he goes on to say, you know, I've been here slaving away for you and have never disobeyed your orders, he says, and yet you've never given me anything. All right, so Jesus gives us these two pictures here, these two sons. And I think the story, of course, is about a man and his sons. It's really a story about God and his children. It's a story about us and how we relate to God. And there's two different pictures we see in the story here. And notice that the young one, he says, how can I get out from underneath the Father? I know I'll run far from him. And so the young one sees obedience as a kind of constraint that limits him, and he longs to get out from underneath it. And so he does, and he goes from home. The older brother also sees obedience as a constraint, but he has a different strategy. He says, well, I'll bear with it. I'll slave away for him and never disobey his orders so that when he dies, then I can have what I want and get that inheritance that I want to have out of him. So they're both thinking of obedience as this drudgery, this thing that, boy, you can escape it if you can. And where do they end up? The result of that for the younger brother is it's fun for a little while, and he winds up in a place of shipwreck of his life. There he is, starving, feeding pigs, hanging out with what's filthy. What about the older brother? Well, he doesn't end up in that place. He stays at home, but what is he like inside? We can see just from the glimpse we have of him. Bitter, cold, self-righteous, envious of the younger brother who got to go out and have some fun just like he wants to do. Joyless. Neither one is in a very good place. Jesus wants us to see a different picture. This is not what obedience is about. And the key to seeing that different picture is to see a different picture of the Father. You know, if you got something in your mail, a note that said, I'm coming to get you, you know, how would that sound to you? It would depend quite a bit, I think, on who the note came from. So if this was a note from your IRS agent, that feels one way. If it is a note from, I don't know, your best friend, it feels very different, doesn't it? So how we receive that word depends on who we see that word coming from. And it is the same way with obedience. When we hear, how do we hear the call? I ask you to obey me. Well, it depends on who we see that coming from. And what we see in this story is that both the older and the younger brother had a certain picture of the Father, according to which obedience was a drudgery that they should get out from underneath if they can. But Jesus wants to show us something different. And part of that is showing us who the Father really is. And he does this not just in this story, but with his whole life. He says to the disciples in this same context in John, he says, you want to know who the Father is? It's me. This is what he looks like. This is who God is. God and I are not on different pages. He's not one way, I'm another. I am God in the flesh, come to show you what the heart of God is like. And what does he show? That the heart of God is loving? That the heart of God is gracious? I think of that picture of the Father running out to greet the Son. How many fathers would do that? Especially in that culture where it was completely undignified for a man to run. It wasn't done. So I don't even care about my dignity. I'm so glad to have you back. A heart of generosity, where again, what would be natural is to say, okay, you can come back, but no more inheritance for you, and you're going to start earning your keep. He invites him in, the robe, the feast, the ring, everything else. And the heart of the father in the story says to the young son, son, don't you realize that what you're doing out there is hanging out with pigs and eating filth, and I have so much more for you in my home. I have a banquet, I have riches, I have wealth, I have relationship, and I want to share it with you. I long for you to come back into it. And what he says to the older son is, you know, it isn't, I don't want slaves. I don't want slaves. I want sons. I want daughters. And you know, we know as a parent, the relationship with a child, love comes first, doesn't it? You love your child from the moment that they are born, not from the moment they start to mow the lawn, which I'm hoping is soon for my children. We expect that, yes, they will obey and they will do things for us, and we want that kind of relationship, but the relationship is rooted in love. And that's where obedience springs from. It doesn't work the other way around, where we say, well, look, if you obey, then we'll love. And it's the same way with God. In this context, right before Jesus says this, if you love me, you will obey my commandments, he washes their feet. And he says, this is how I've been among you. I've come to serve you and to show my servant heart of love to you. Now, because I have loved you, then won't you love me and won't you walk in what I've called you to do? And we also see in the life of Jesus what it looks like to be that son who gets it. Because Jesus, he said over and over again, I am here to be obedient to the Father's will. He said, my food is to do the will of the Father. I do nothing apart from what I see the Father doing. I don't say anything but what the Father has said or given me to say and exactly how he says it. And he says, the world has got to know that I love the Father and I do exactly what he has commanded. So Jesus doesn't, he's not asking us something that he himself has not modeled. He says, I am living a life of complete obedience to the Father's will. Why does he do that? Because Jesus gets it, that obedience is not constraint. Obedience is life. Obedience is freedom. If you're obeying a loving God. And he has complete confidence in that because he sees God is good, his will for me is good, his desire for me is good, he is wise, he knows what he's talking about, and I can trust him and I can do what he's called me into, and that is where I am going to find freedom and life. And then Jesus calls us to the same thing. He says, okay, you've seen it, I've shown you who the Father is, and now I'm asking you, walk after me in obedience. If you love me, you will do the things I'm telling you to do. I think it's worthwhile to reflect on this for a moment and really be honest and to ask yourself, where is my heart? Where is my attitude about obedience toward God? How does that strike me? Do I feel like the young son where I think, oh my goodness, if I could just get out underneath the demands of this father and get far from him and do my own thing, that's where I'm going to be happy. Or is the attitude more like the older son? It's okay, I'll be here, I'll do the religious things, I'll do what God is asking me to do, but I want to know how much do I have to do? How much do I have to give, God? How much do I have to let you into my life? And whatever that minimum is, that's what I want to check off in the box. Or do you have an attitude of heart like Jesus that says, I long to do the will of the Father because I recognize that in it is life and is freedom. I am completely convinced that obedience to God is life and is good. And that when we submit to God, when we submit our lives to him, when we invite him into them, then that is where we are going to find life. And that is where we're going to find flourishing. And Jesus, too, asks us to think about this. He says to the crowds at one point, he says, why do you guys call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Just think about this. Does that make any sense? You know what Lord means, right? That's what he's saying. If I'm Lord, then that means you obey. That's a Lord to you. So why do you say Lord and then you don't do what I say? Where's the disconnect? And he's calling for honesty. And elsewhere he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. These things are connected up. If you're going to come to Christ as a Lord, then obedience is part of the package. And he calls for honesty to say, like Joshua does when he's talking to the people of Israel as they go into the promised land, he says, decide. He says, decide what is going to be for you. Who are you going to serve? Whether you're going to serve God? And he says, as for me and my house, that's what I'm going to do. He said, but decide. If it's not going to be God, then who's it going to be? But don't stay in that place where you say you're doing one thing and you're really doing another. Jesus challenges us on that to say, be honest. What do you say to God's call to obedience? So I will give you a little bit of homework. Father Meyer told me after the first service that he doesn't like homework. The beautiful thing is you don't have to obey me. So this is a suggestion. Two things. One, I would encourage you to get before God in a time of prayer when you've got some space and say, God, help me to see my own heart about this. And ask God what in your life right now he's calling you to as a way of obedience. What's he speaking to you about? What is he asking you to respond to? And I would encourage you, when he does that, to repent. And say, you know what? I've been the young son in this. I've tried to flee from you. Or I've been eating my vegetables, but not very happy about it. And in either case, Lord, you have died to give me life. I need to be different. And to repent and to start to do what God is calling you to do. And the second thing that I would encourage you is to spend some time finding out what it is that God is asking. You know, if we're to know the will of the Father, we need to spend time in Scripture. That's how we find out what it is that God wants. You know, Jesus, again, was a student of Scripture. He knew it backwards and forwards. And you see this in how he speaks. It comes out at every juncture. He knew what God wanted because he knew what God had said. And it's the same way for us. If you can imagine being part of maybe a new hire in a company, you're a manager, and then the boss says, okay, welcome to the job. Here you go. Here's the company manual. I'll be back in a little while, see how you're going. And you say, oh yes, I'm ready to be a servant here. I'm ready to be an employee of the year, and off on a vigorous start. Comes back in a month, and he says, okay, so how are things? Have you done, you know, this, that, and the other thing? And you say, oh, I didn't know about this, that, and the other thing. And like, it was in the manual. Oh, well, I didn't read the manual. That would be strange as an employee. If you really desire to do the job that you've been hired to do, then you want to know what the job is. It's the same way with the life of following Christ. If you really want to know what Christ's will is, then we need to spend time there. It's not just something we learn by osmosis. We need to study it. So we need to dig into Scripture, and I would encourage you to start to make a habit of that if you don't already have one. Start in the Gospels to see, what is this guy all about? What is he calling me to? And I'm convinced of this. As we start to see, or as we grow in our understanding of who the Father is, then obedience will more and more become not a drudgery, but a delight. Because we see who it is that calls us and what it is that really he's calling us to. And that is not a constraint, but that is life. Will you pray with me? Father, we give you thanks for your call to us. We thank you for your Son and the example that he sets and the revelation of who you are, your love and your care, your grace, your generosity, your desire, Lord, for us to truly find life and to flourish. So we pray, Father, for clarity in our hearts, that you would speak to us about how you are calling us. Give us courage to respond. And give us, Lord, insight and wisdom that we might know who you are and what it is to which you call us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.